Welcome to the Saints Happy Hour Podcast with host Ralph Malbro and featuring bloggers Andrew Juge of SaintsNation.com, Kevin Held of The Team Drops the Ball,
and Ray
Cariello of Canal Street Chronicles. This podcast is nothing but serious football talk and hardcore analysis.
Which four of you would survive the longest in the zombie apocalypse, and in which order would you die?
Well, Ralph, no offense, you're going first.
Oh, definitely. No.
The zombies would smell Dave's sugar blood and target him.
They'd get his...
I don't even have a joke, Dave smells like nougat.
Now here's your host, Ralph Malbro.
All right, welcome to Saints Happy Hour Podcast. As always, we are sponsored by JLD Hot Sauces and Knives. Guys, they have the best hot sauce. Their award-winning hot sauce, Boot Jolica, comes in hot, extra hot, and Thai flavors. They also have the Reaper Madness Reserve made with the Reaper Pepper from Carolina. And for the brave, you can get the Death Shot. It has the extract of 10 Reaper chilies in each 1-ounce bottle. JLD Hot Sauce also has the highest quality made knives you'll find anywhere, including ones for hunting, fishing, and cooking. Go to jldsharpsauce.com, use the code SAINTS, and get 10% off your order today. That's jldsharpsauce.com. All right, everybody. Kevin Held has returned for a holiday just because he loves us, and he's coming on back. Kevin, I got excited when you said you wanted to do the show, and I thought of you today not a sad note, but Drew McGarry, the very popular Deadspin writer, something happened to him. He had an accident. He's recovering. And I thought of him because he show back when we were excited to have like 200 people listen. And we interviewed him from a wind tunnel. It was very exciting.
What happened? Yeah.
I don't know. Deadspin doesn't say. They didn't say. They just said he's... I knew something was weird because he didn't do his column Thursday, and they were like, something's happened, and he's had an accident. We're not telling you anything more. Pray for him. And that's it. But he's recovering. It didn't seem like he was near death. Just something significant happened to him. So anyway, that's what I thought of, Kevin. But you are back. And also, to show you how far the podcast has come, Dave, tell the people, you are getting free stuff. People are just mailing you shit just because they love you. You got a care package from a super fan of the show. You got Airheads and T-shirts and drugs and drug paraphernalia. Tell the people what you got.
Drugs. I did thank you to Chris, who is a loyal listener. And, he heard me talking about how much I really, really wanted to get my hands on some of those Alvin Kamara Airheads. So he happened to have a bunch, and he had some that he could spare, so he dropped a couple in the mail for me. That was very nice. What did he address it to? He addressed it to Dave. Dave, they should have never signed Nick Fairley Cariello.
I think it had Rankins on there. I think he got fairly confused with Rankins.
And then also, I don't know if you guys got it yet, but we got a special gift from JLD Hot Sauce. It's like this blueberry cranberry jam, but it's like spicy. I dipped my finger in there at the store and got a little taste. It was spicy. I got to figure out what that's gonna go on. But it wasn't like crazy spicy like that. No. Like the sauce we got.
It's great.
And then I had another listener. Now I'm forgetting. I think he said his name was Tim. If it wasn't Tim, it was Matthew, but I think it was Tim. He's from here. He's from New Orleans, but he lives now in Michigan. He's a farmer. And I apologize for our farmersonly.com jokes. He said it's funny you mentioned that because I remember that from when I first started listening. So he's been listening for a while, and he wanted to come in because he wanted to see the T-shirt empire that he's heard so much about. Literally his words. So anyway, thank you for listening, and thanks for stopping by. I'm always willing to chat for a little bit with listeners in the area.
So Kevin, we haven't talked to you in a while. So what's your thought of the Saints?
Wait, go ahead. Wait. Now the sponsorship is now hot sauce and knives?
Yes.
Oh, and also mybookie.com.
No, they're done. MyBookie. Yeah. They're a little bit shady, as I can attest. But they're no longer a sponsor. We love them. We'll take your money. We'll shill for anybody, man. Except for like
money is still money.
Yeah. Hey, Kevin, remember when they had the guy? He might have been a white supremacist that he wanted to hawk his book. Remember that, like when we first did the podcast, and we got to like 500 listeners a month, and he wanted to hawk his book, and he might have been a white supremacist. We thought about taking his money. We should have done it.
I don't know about that.
I mean, money's money.
I don't even remember the white supremacist part. All I can remember is you saying this guy with a book.
He's a book.
Wanted us to sell his thing, and I was just like, and you were just telling me, yeah. I was like, no. So I was just like, all right.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying he was really far out there, but he had a picture of David Koresh on his website.
Yeah, that's a negative, Ghost Ryan.
That's a negative. I think we made the right call.
We're like, yeah, 10 minutes into this podcast. We haven't even talked about the Saints yet.
No, we haven't even. But that's what the people want.
If you guys decided to hawk, you know, y'all hawking hot sauce and knives, and then y'all are talking about, oh, I got Airheads, and we've got care packages from, you know, from hot sauce, and we got this spicy jam that Dave likes jamming his finger in. Like, oh, that's great. Oh, people from as far away as Michigan coming to see the T-shirt Empire. That's great. That's great. You know, I'm sitting up here in the Midwest with Jack and shit, and you know, I mean, I got my dog next to me, but he couldn't give a rat's ass about me right now.
So,
this football team, guys.
The football team. Kevin, this must be
Are we going to get an update on Kevin's love life before the end of this podcast?
Yeah,
we always had a love life.
Solid. We haven't talked about football yet. We might as well just keep moving the proverbial goalpost back on that. Mm. Yeah, so the woman that I had been seeing for like 15, 16 months, she and I broke up.
Aw.
Yeah, I know. I really thought she was the one.
Social media really made me feel like it was true love. I feel duped.
I took some time off, had to figure out what to do with the franchise, and you know, traded down, you know, acquired more picks. You know, and moves, and you know, things are looking promising at the moment.
So
well, that's good.
That's great.
Basically what you're saying is you're on farmersonly.com.
Not on Farmers Only. I would not dare present myself as something that I'm not by going to farmersonly.com. I've gone to a few places and got a couple of dates. And yeah, I'm just taking my time. Just taking things nice.
So, you know, every now and then on this podcast, we talk about the Saints. Occasionally. They're 11-2, and they're on track for a bye.
They're your NFC South champions.
They are NFC South champions. Is any of you
Hold on, let's fucking talk about that for a second. All right,
here we go.
Because you know that this is the first time in franchise history that they've gone back to back and won two division titles. It's never happened in 51 years, half a century, guys. They've never won back to back titles. And all I saw on Twitter, now granted, I was frustrated. I was annoyed. But like, and I'm picking on Brian because he's my friend and he's top of mind. But he certainly was not the only one. But tweets about firing this team into the sun and Saints are awful. And they're 11-2. They're still, if they win out these last three games, it will be the best team in franchise history for the regular season. Now, I know we all want Super Bowl or bust. I know that if it's not a Super Bowl, we're all going to be disappointed, and this is going to be a miserable season. But, you know, a little perspective here. Not too long ago, this was a team, when I was a kid, that never won a playoff game. And I was told when I was a kid that the Saints were small market, that the owners were cheap, and they were never – it would never happen in my lifetime. They would never win a playoff game. And then in 2000, when they won a playoff game, all I heard from all the old school Saints fans was, well, they may have won a playoff game, but they're never going to win a road playoff game. They can't do it on the road. And they'll win a road playoff game. Well, they'll never win a Super Bowl. That'll never happen. Even if they get there, no chance they actually win it. So, you know what? Like, all I've heard my whole life is that they can't do stuff. And under the Sean Payton era, they have done everything. They've won on the road in the playoffs. They've won a playoff game. That actually happened with Hazlitt. They've won a Super Bowl. They've now won back-to-back division titles. So I'm going to apologize and actually enjoy this shit for a second, because this is supposed to be fun. And if you're not having fun when your team is 11-2 and win back-to-back division titles for the first time in 50 years, then you need to stop watching. You need to stop.
I have to say, Andrew, and Kevin, you can attest to this, when you used to edit my columns at Channel 4, maybe. At halftime of the game, I checked my email. All the 50-year-old-plus Saints fans came out of the fucking woodwork and were like, this team is a disaster. They're not going to win another game. They're terrible. They shouldn't have let Willie Snead leave. The offense is trash. Blah, blah, blah. It was panic. Kevin, I used to think the Saints fan base was kind of chill because we were just like still enjoying 2009. But after yesterday, man, the Saints fan base, we're kind of entitled, man. Like they had six bad quarters on offense, and the fan base was flipping out.
I don't even know what to make of some of them older folks that are coming out there out of the woodwork. I mean, I'm used to seeing on Twitter, you know, the Saints go 3-and-out, or if Drew throws an interception, I'm used to seeing some of Saints Twitter being like, all right, they're going to lose. Oh, well, you know, what else is on TV? And it's only, you know, if it's a 3 o'clock game, it's 3:15 and some of these fools are already looking for the remote, you know, and I just kind of chalk that up to people being cute or trying to be cute. But like these older folks that lived through, if not all 50 years, most of it, suddenly coming around and saying all these things, like, man, you know, calm down.
Yep.
Calm down. You know, Juge.
You know what it is? It's that we're one step removed now. We're approaching Patriots fan territory, where we're not happy unless we win 50-7 and everything is perfect. But that's not football. That's not reality.
I don't even know if it's that. I part of me wonders if it's just some older people feeling like, oh, this is the shoe dropping that I always knew was going to happen because I am a pessimistic asshole. And so
you live in the negative.
That's some of it. That's definitely some of it. The old school, just like, I always knew the Saints were losers, and they're just waiting for any opportunity to drop that. But then there's this whole new wave of fans that they're like, hold on a second. I signed up for the storybook Katrina season, and I signed up for 2009. I didn't sign up for this. You know, it's like it's these people that are fans of, depending on what league, you know, they're fans of the Yankees for baseball and the Lakers for basketball, though they switched to the Golden State Warriors 5 years ago. And, you know, it's like it's these front runner fans. And like it's just like there's so many of them now. They're just like, they can't tolerate a little adversity. Like, that's football. And every season, like, the Saints have faced about as little amount of adversity as I've ever seen from any team in Saints history, and yet they're still going to face a little bit. That's part of the deal. They're 11-2. Enjoy this. If you're a fan and you love football and you love the Saints, it doesn't get any better. It just doesn't.
Well, here's a good question, though. That's a good question, Dave. Is New Orleans as excited now as they were in 2009?
No.
I think no. But Dave, you're there.
I mean, it's kind of hard for that. I don't think that level of excitement can be topped. I think at best you can equal it. I think at best you can approach it.
That's fair.
Dave, it's been a decade since they won a Super Bowl.
Yeah. First of all, I'm the only one out of this whole group here that lives in New Orleans, so I'm the only one.
Here it comes. Play the card. Here comes Dave. Oh, I got the T-shirt empire. I own all 52 cards in the deck. Oh, I live in New Orleans. I'm from here. I buy the hot dogs here.
Okay. Oh,
I take a saunter down Magazine Street. Oh, I tip my cap, and I'm wearing my suit. Oh, lordy, lordy. Tell us you're drinking some sweet tea next, Dave. Oh, I make a nice batch of remoulade.
Oh, my God.
It's like he never left.
Anyway.
Above the garage and like saunters in for like 5 episodes a season.
Anyway, I do agree.
I mean, Dave, when you were 8 years old in New York and going to see Cats, we were Saints fans, buddy.
I know. It's true.
In his defense, he probably did know all the lyrics to Phantom of the Opera. So, you know.
I've never even seen Phantom of the Opera. I've never seen Cats either. But the question was about the present day and the right now. But my answer is there's certainly not as much excitement this year as there was back in 2009. And I was actually thinking about this on. And how I would react if they won or lost, and I just think it's not going to be as big of a deal as it was back in 2000. I don't think it's going to be.
I mean, I understand the concept of losing your virginity and you never get to do it for the first time again, or the first time you try heroin and they say that addicts always chase that first high and they never get it again. Like, I refuse to believe this.
I mean,
what am I doing every Sunday? Like, why am I obsessing over this? Why do I do a podcast every Monday? Like, what are we doing? What are all these listeners doing? Why are you listening to this podcast every Monday if you don't love it and it's not going to be really special for you?
I'm not saying that I'm not going to enjoy it.
That's why they listen, man. They listen for the sound effects.
It's going to be awesome. It's going to be amazing. And I'm like you. I'm like, I'm going to enjoy this season. I'm rooting for them to go 14-2 and have the best record in franchise history.
Are you with me though, Dave? Like, can we not describe this as anything other than awesome and amazing?
Yeah, I'm not on
and
Twitter.
And we're fortunate to witness it.
I'm not getting that feedback. I'm not in that echo chamber. I've avoided all that crap. So, but if I was like you and I was reading all this on Twitter all the time, then I would think that it's totally ludicrous that these people.
I'll just say we do 3 times the amount of podcast listeners we did than when we did it in 2009. So
that's
people are more excited.
Yeah, well.
Well, I don't think it's totally random that, you know, we're getting Christmas gifts in the mail and Airheads and people are coming by my store. The same season that the Saints are playing incredible. I mean, that's the exact kind of stuff that happens, and that, you know, that when your team is winning and everybody's feeling good, you know, I don't think that's a coincidence.
No, I mean, look, Saints win, people are more interested. That's just how it goes. The one thing I will say about the actual, this actual season, Kevin, I feel like people might not be more excited, but I feel like there's more ancillary, weird, fun comedy stuff going on. We got the Bunk Gang where they do the celebrations. We got Taysom Hill. We got Kamara with his own Airheads. We got Michael Thomas doing homages to Joe Horn. I feel like the ancillary fun stuff is more, and I'm having much more fun than we had in 2009, just because I feel like there's much more fun to joke about than there was in 2009. And yeah, we joked about it, but like the Saints give us material that's just so fantastic.
Right. So here, while you were going through that, something occurred to me.
How did you not mention Teddy Bridgewater's dance in the locker
room? Oh, we'll get to that. No, we'll get to that. We'll get to that.
Mean, listen,
as,
man.
As you were listing the fun things, I mean, that's got to be in there. Okay, go ahead, Kevin.
I listen, if I won a massive lottery, I would personally buy the Eliminator course from the old American Gladiator show just so I could have Teddy Bridgewater do the little bicycle hand gimmick again and again and again. But so while Ralph was talking, it occurred to me. So it's going to be obvious now, but it's the Super Bowl that made the difference. When you don't have a championship in a generational in the memory of a generation to lean on and to really stick with, that's all you can focus on. So it's like you can look at the 2006 season before the Super Bowl. The 2006 season, there was a ton of fun little things that were going on and good moments, but it just kind of just fell and drifted into the ether. And then when the Super Bowl happened, that was the big collective sigh of relief. So now you can really look at all these other things that are happening and really enjoy and pay attention to that and really love and cherish these other things more because the 2009 season happened.
Yeah, I mean, it's a really interesting point. I think
I'll go out on the hot take limb and say, and I'll go as far as saying this. I don't know if the 28-3 stuff would have been as big had the Saints not won the Super Bowl.
Oh, there's no doubt that is. And Bomani Jones has said this, as he has admitted he gave up being an Atlanta Falcon fan, but he still hates the Saints. And he says that's the one thing that the Saints fan can always hold over Atlanta fans for now is we got the championship and you don't. And that makes 28-3 10 times more fun, because even if the Saints had lost to the Colts or whatever, Atlanta would say, how many Super Bowls you got? And we'd be like, none. But now we're like, we got one, you got none, 28-3, buddy.
I mean, you know? the one thing that could maybe make a Super Bowl this year as good or better than 2009 would be the fact that it would be in Atlanta on their field.
Yes, and also, we don't know like how it's going to play out, you know. And first of all, I think we need to acknowledge the very real possibility that the Saints won't win the Super Bowl this year. I mean, that's still a possibility. But assuming if they were to pull this off, you know, all these moments, ambush, the Tracy Porter pick, you know, and even playoff games that and non-Super Bowl seasons, like when they went on the road in Philly and Shane Graham made that kick. I mean, I'm just saying, like, there will be, if the Saints pull this off, there will be moments, unforgettable moments that happen in the playoffs that we will reference forever, and maybe it gets up to that point. Because right now it's all theoretical, right?
Yeah, I do. I do.
That's true. I mean, if the game has some epic moment or series or something, you know.
Well,
or,
I'll,
you, just like the Patriots coming back from 28-3. You know, if the Saints did something crazy like that, then maybe that might vault it. And
well,
say, you
I'll
know
just
what?
Say
that's definitely the best Super Bowl. That game is fucking amazing.
I'll join Kevin in the hot take limb and say, look, if the Saints get to Atlanta, that 2 weeks between the NFC Championship game and going to Atlanta will make the Miami Super Bowl look like a kid's Christmas party, because Saints fans were going to Miami and they didn't even have tickets. I knew tons of people that were like, I'm just going because the Saints are in the Super Bowl. I got to go even though I don't have a ticket. Dude, Atlanta is a cheap-ass flight away or an eight-hour drive, and they have like upwards of 100,000 people from New Orleans that moved to Atlanta post-Katrina and stayed. New Orleans will simply take over Atlanta for Super Bowl week in a way that I don't think America is quite prepared to see.
Yeah.
Which will make it different. Here's something that I thought of, and somebody actually reminded me on the Twitters, is during the summer, Andrew, when we were talking about sacks and totals, somebody tweeted something out, and they said, can the Saints – Would you eat cat food if the Saints got to 55 sacks? And I said, no, but I'll dress up as Freddie Mercury if the Saints got to 55 sacks. And 55 sacks in August seemed fucking ridiculous, but the Saints had four more sacks yesterday, Andrew. They're at 41 sacks with three games to go. I wouldn't say 55 is likely, but it's possible. Am I going to have to do research on how to dress up like Freddie Mercury?
it'll look glorious. I can promise you that.
But what would just odds of it happening? 50.
Well, they're playing Cam Newton twice, and you know he's notorious for holding onto the ball longer than most quarterbacks, and they're playing Roethlisberger once, and he might be the only guy in the league that hangs onto the ball longer than Newton. So. You know, those guys, I mean, if they were playing Matt Ryan, I would say it's maybe less likely, but with those quarterbacks, like they could get a seven sack game on Newton. And then, you know, you're talking about seven sacks in two games. So it's not impossible. Unlikely, but impossible.
We need to talk about.
Did I say I was going to do something if they get 55 sacks?
I don't know, but Kevin,
am I on the list here?
If I have to dress up,
you said something about a guy and a blowjob.
Kevin, if I have to dress up as Freddie Mercury, which Freddie Mercury should I have to dress up as? Should I have to dress up as like leather pants with the wife beater? Should I have to do the crazy thing called love where he's vacuuming in a French maid outfit? Like, which version of Freddie Mercury should I have to become?
I think either you go Live Aid Freddie Mercury with the short haircut, the mustache, and the A-top with the white pants, or you go the One Mission Freddie Mercury from the music video where he is in drag. Two very different. It's two vastly different looks.
So, Teddy Bridgewater looks like the happiest motherfucker on earth. And Dave, you can address this. I feel like that dude knows something about his future with the Saints. Like, he's won the Powerball and ain't told nobody. I've never seen a backup quarterback this happy in my entire life. Like, do you have a theory, explanation for why he's so happy?
I just think that's him. I mean, everything I've always heard about him is that he's such a nice guy and all that. So, I mean, I think he's just probably got a very positive outlook on life. And I think, you know, Andrew just went on a whole rant earlier. How could you not? What is he supposed to do? Fucking sulk in his locker when the Saints
Brandon
are 11-2?
Brandon Cooks would.
I mean, well, there you go. What's he supposed to do? I don't think he knows. I don't know what he knows about their plans for the future. But again, I think as long as Drew Brees continues playing like this, I'm pretty sure he's still going to be playing. So,
people, there's like a small percentage of our audience that likes us to talk about X's and O's, Andrew. So the Tampa game, the first half, they got dominated, but I feel like the second half, the Saints really asserted themselves, but it didn't necessarily feel like that because it wasn't like this boom, 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 and it's 28-14 and the game's over. It was more like Taysom Hill blocked the punt, and then it was just like slow, methodical. Kevin, what's a wrestling move that's kind of slow and methodical? Maybe Iron Claw or a sleeper hold, and then the Saints had won, right? So it wasn't like you didn't think of it as like this super dominating second half, but it kind of was, right? They just curb stomped Tampa in the second half.
Yeah, 25-0, and you know when you look at the plays that were made, it really was an ass kicking in every phase of the game. I mean, the interesting thing, and I said this on Twitter, I was like, man, I hope Sean Payton sticks with the run. I really hope he doesn't abandon it and go one dimensional, because that's how things start to get ugly. And that's when Drew Brees gets hit a lot. And I just thought, like, if they were going to try to run the football the whole game and fail in doing it, and Tampa was just going to continue to dominate at the line of scrimmage, then so be it. But I just felt very strongly that if they stuck with it, like, eventually they were going to hit on these runs, because Tampa's defense is just they've shown all year they're just not good enough to hold up for four quarters like that. So kudos to Sean Payton. I mean, he didn't abandon the run. He stuck with it. And, after that Taysom Hill block, I mean, you started to see the defense dominate. The pass rush was getting there. And the minute Tampa had to start throwing and becoming more one-dimensional, defense started to take control of the game. Offensively, they were running the football and moving it. Special teams came up with big plays. Even Tommy Lee Lewis had a couple good returns. So I just thought it was a complete domination from top to bottom every phase of the game. Really, really weird considering it was the opposite in the first half.
Kevin, I'm going to ask a really weird question that I never in a million years thought I would ask. And you're just the guy to ask because I know you watch the tape. You know about the Saints receivers. You know the routes they run. You know the breaks. You know all of it, the timing.
I think he knows the middle name for every guy on the 53-man roster.
Yeah, he does. But, Kevin, I feel like after Michael Thomas, the Saints – the rest of their receivers, including tight ends, they really kind of struggle, borderline, are mediocre. Do they need Ted Ginn to come back and be good on offense?
Ooh. Boy, that...
I can't believe I'm asking it, but I kind of feel like maybe.
Man.
Then what's his middle name?
Gerald. Yeah, I don't. I think that would absolutely. I think that could help. I mean, he's. It's not. It's basically. Just. Like he's the present day Devery Henderson. Just he's not going to catch that many passes, but he's just enough of a deep threat to make make defenses have to account for him. And then of course by doing that, you open things up more for Mike Thomas and the tight ends underneath. Yeah. Yeah, Dave, that could help. I mean, I would rather see. I mean, if you gave me a choice between having the O line, I can't remember the guy's name off the top of my head, the guy who's not in. But if you gave me a choice between having him back or Ted Ginn back, I'd want the O line guy back.
Yeah, no, I think the thing is because Dave, it's December, right? The Saints, there's no fix that's coming from outside the building, and Brandon Marshall, he's caught. He's not even active, and if he couldn't be active against Tampa, like I don't know what they're ever gonna get from him. So like it's either gonna be Ted Ginn or nothing. Like I don't see anybody else stepping up.
Well, I mean, first of all, as far as Marshall's concerned, I don't know if him being inactive is necessarily because he's not picking up the playbook or anything like that. I just just don't really know if they. I think he's just really for emergency purposes.
Yeah, I mean, if he was, he would be playing by now if the Saints felt like he was better than what they're seeing in practice from the other guys.
But I mean, you know, would the Saints be better with Ginn back? Yeah, of course they would be. And hopefully he comes back. But I think he's still got at least a few weeks to go. Maybe for the playoffs he'll be back, especially if the Saints have a bye in the first round. But I mean, I think, you know, all these other guys, Traquan and, Kirkwood now, I mean, I think they're good enough. I think the problem is consistency. I mean, I just feel like the last couple of games, the Dallas game, you know, Traquan dropping that touchdown,
dropped the flicker yesterday. That was a great call.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think they're bad. I just think that they've just been playing inconsistent lately, but they are certainly, you know, you can certainly next week, they might all turn it on again, and you might have one of those games where, you know, Kirkwood shows up, you know, and Drew throws four touchdowns to four undrafted guys, you know?
No, that's an interesting point. I guess, Andrew, my fear is that they don't need a lot. They just need somebody. And it could be, you know what?
They need a receiver to be Eli Apple on offense. Is a guy where he's not awesome. He's never going to be awesome for the Saints. But the Saints need, he's going to be handsy. He's going to get flagged a couple times. He's going to get beat here and there. What the Saints need him to be is competent and occasionally making plays. And that's exactly what they need from a number two receiver. They need Eli Apple on offense.
I have the other guy. I have the name besides Ted Ginn, and I can't believe I forgot it. Playoff Josh Hill. The playoff Josh Hill can save them. Look.
Josh Hill dropped one last Sunday too, didn't he?
Yes, he did. So here's the thing. And before we get to the hot take of the week, that it's really the hot question of the week, and Dave actually brought it up yesterday on a text, but it's sponsored by JLD Hot Sauce and Knives. Guys, they have the best hot sauce. Their award-winning hot sauce, Bucholica, comes in hot, extra hot, and Thai flavors. Go to jldsharpsauce.com and use the code SAINTS and get 10% off your order. That's jldsharpsauce.com. Dave, it's not necessarily a hot take, but it was a great question you asked. Why is Taysom Hill getting used less and less on offense? Now, the Twitter talking heads that hate Taysom Hill, the so-called NFL experts, were saying that I saw some of them say yesterday that Sean Payton's finally wised up, that it's dumb. But PFF, Andrew, showed that that's not the case. Like, Taysom Hill on third and fourth down in high leverage situations, and when it's third and fourth and short, he rocks at it. And the Saints are phasing him out, or not phasing him out, they're using him less and less on offense. And you said they've removed him off of some of the kickoff units. So is Sean Payton using him less, or are they saving him? Those are the two possibilities.
I mean, I think when you're 11-2, you have to be realistic about two things with Taysom Hill. Number one, you know, there's a limited amount of stuff you can do with him in the game. And I just feel like you've got to be careful how much you put on tape. Because if you put a bunch of stuff on tape, you're basically showing, you know, your arsenal, and you're giving guys a chance to prepare. And you know, if you go 5 or 6 weeks without really using him, then not only is it not on tape, but teams are starting to think maybe, that's not part of their offense anymore. So it almost gives you an element of surprise again to have him back in there. For example, you know, they put him in and it cost Tampa a timeout, which, you know, it was kind of a critical juncture when they put him in there, and Tampa called a timeout. So, you know, they still got a benefit out of putting him in there on that play. But I just think, you know, the other thing is Taysom Hill, I mean, he's got a history of injury. You don't want him taking a ton of hits, especially when you're 11-2 and you already know you're going to get in the playoffs. You already know you're almost certainly going to get a bye. I just think you got to be careful about how much you use him right now. You got to be smart about it. I think Sean Payton's got a trick up his sleeve. And I think, you know, once you get to the playoffs and it's do or die elimination game, then you're throwing the kitchen sink at people and you're really not holding anything back at that point. So I think there's a good chance we'll see a ton of him in the playoffs.
Yeah. If the Saints go to the Super Bowl, there's going to be a Taysom Hill play.
Yeah. Taysom Hill might kick and recover ambush himself.
And by the way, it was funny because when I texted you guys and asked that question, I mean, I had felt like over the Dallas game and then even the week prior, like they kind of really, they just weren't putting him in. They weren't really using him offensively. And then I texted that. And then, of course, you know, he blocks the punt. And then I felt like they started putting him in the second half and started using him again. Every now and then, like they used to. So it was really weird. It was like, as soon as I asked the question, I felt like they automatically changed and started using him again. And they coincidentally started winning. I also think, you know, I think that block punt was, I mean, obviously huge for the game, but, you know, we could potentially even look back on it in the future and say, you know, that block punt kind of turn the whole season around because, you know, the Saints were really looking lackluster and dismal. And without that block punt, who knows what happens in this game? Maybe they lose this game and maybe they just continue to spiral downwards. So, you know, I thought that block punt was huge. I mean, he's Taysom Hill. He's I know Drew's having a great season, but shit, I mean, he deserves the MVP on this team for this season.
I love the hot take. Kevin, what does Taysom Hill have to do between now and the Super Bowl to become a lock Saints Hall of Fame member?
Oh, let's see. I'm going to say he gets thrown in on defense and somehow comes up with a turnover. Because, I mean, I mean, you know, like, so we got that. We've got maybe he has to kick an extra point or something.
I can promise you he would have done a much better job on that Miami Miracle than Gronk did.
Oh, Mike. I showed that play to my wife when she got
married.
We were scheduled to take Christmas pictures, and my wife, she said, you don't have to go with me if, and I just said yes, and she didn't even finish what she had to say. And because she's a great wife, she let me stay home and watch the Saints. And I showed her the Miami touchdown, and she was speechless. And she went, holy shit, what is Gronk doing? It was maybe
my wife
the most excited she's been about the Dolphins in the 10 years that I've known her. It was quite great.
They always play well against Brady in Miami.
Yeah, but I mean, they either win and it doesn't mean anything or whatever. I think if Taysom Hill like blocked a punt and ran a kickoff back in the Super Bowl and got the Super Bowl MVP, I think that would lock him in the Saints Hall of Fame. Because like we love Hoki Gajon and we love other people. They have a lot of people in the Saints Hall of Fame. It's like questionable. Is what I'm saying.
We're close to getting into the Saints Hall of Fame.
I am. I want the Florida Lee Media Award. I think I should qualify.
The Joe Gamelli?
The Joe Award. Gamelli. I've been nominated for some sort of Louisiana Press Award. I didn't win. I finished second. I got a certificate. It's like a, you know, thanks for coming. It's like a ribbon. But, so I should... I should qualify for that. So, before we get to the Saints game, our picks, and the Twitter questions, I want to take a second to ask you guys to do something nice for the holiday season. The New Orleans, Florida State Knowles Holiday Drive is happening. There's going to be a link on our podcast. They partner with Catholic Charities. They buy gifts for teenagers. that need Christmas gifts. They have all kinds of stuff you can purchase through Amazon that is as low as like $5 and whatever you can spend. The podcast has donated $150 to help these kids get gifts. Everybody deserves a gift on Christmas. So go to our website at Podbean. I'll have the link up. If you can donate, please do, to make somebody's Christmas great. All right.
Here, knife company. I could use a knife.
We can't have JLD. Well,
JLD hot sauces and knives, man.
They can't.
Right.
Listen.
Can't give donate to the. Listen. Donate to the cause. Ralph's right. Kids need gifts. I could use a knife from the hot sauce people.
Look, if you think a knife's inappropriate, buy him a death shot.
Exactly.
I'll take that.
They don't need books. They don't need clothes. They don't need bikes. What they need is a good hunting knife
and a
death shot.
Listen, if the hot sauce people send me a sample of something, I'll put it on something and record myself eating it, and then put it on Facebook so Ralph can share it.
Jerry's gonna listen to this, and he's gonna want your address. And you're going to be getting something. I guarantee it. We are shameless at this podcast. Look at what we have turned into. We are not only getting free stuff from listeners, now we are begging for free stuff. We have come.
Begging. It's just we're better at it.
What a time to be alive.
What a time to be alive. All right. Alfredo said he sent his questions already. Alfredo, I'm too lazy to scroll back. I'm sorry. This is from Chef Oubre, Kevin. What classic modern wrestler does this Saints team resemble the most other than Ric Flair?
All right. So I this was the one that I gave the most thought to. And I'm going to say The Undertaker.
Ooh.
So the Saints went on that long stretch of victories where they just look completely dominant. And then they get, you know, they get tagged. And then so suddenly their streak gets busted and you're wondering what the hell's going on. And then sure enough, Tampa Bay comes along to act as the Bray Wyatt for the Saints. And we steamroll through them. So there you go.
I picked Roddy Piper because I feel like the Saints are a little bit crazy, like Roddy Piper. And I just think of his I do what I want to do speech. And that's sort of his hashtag, we make the rules, pal. So I thought of Roddy Piper.
Please tell me his story finished with a happy ending and a title.
Roddy Piper only won the Intercontinental Championship for like 2 months.
It just is true.
Pass it over to Bret Hart at WrestleMania.
Yeah, Ralph, I hate that. I don't know anything about what you're saying, but I don't like it.
Okay, Andrew, this is a good question for you. This is from Cody. Are you worried that Breeze has hit a wall like Favre did?
No, he's just played 2 games on the road. Dallas has a tremendous defense. You know, the Tampa game, NFC South rivalry, it was a weird game. The field was all messed up, and you know there were some reasons why I think it was maybe a little bit more difficult to play. Breeze really wasn't playing that bad before the pick. You know, so I just think you get him back in the dome. I mean, I don't know how he's going to play at Carolina this week. This could be weird and tough again, but get him back in the dome, and then hopefully he will play every game for the rest of the season in the dome after that. And the playoffs, but I think it'll be fine.
Kevin, not a Twitter question people ask, but I have to ask it. The Pittsburgh Steelers, a team that you hate maybe as much as you hate the Falcons, maybe more if you'd be completely honest, they are in a complete death spiral. If the Saints were able to deliver the knockout blow for the Steelers season in the dome, how magical would it be, and where would it rate on your personal Saints fun scale?
It would be, I mean, it would be pretty high up there. The reason it wouldn't be the reason that it wouldn't maybe be, super high up there is because, you know, the jackass Pittsburgh Steelers fan that I loathe, I don't pay attention to the guy on social media. So I wouldn't get to sort of bask in his misery of I can't even bask in his misery of getting beat by the Raiders. So I'm not going to be able to bask thumping Ben Roethlisberger in the middle of the dome. So I hate the Steelers, but a lot of that is faded. A lot of that it was conditional on other people. I would say that the Steelers are probably sliding down my most hated franchise list.
Really?
Just a little. Saying they're completely short. I'm just saying that they're not.
There was a time not too long ago where Kevin hated the Steelers more than the Falcons.
Yeah, and here's the thing. The Steelers play New England this week, so it's a good chance that they're losing. They're going to be losers of four in a row when they go to the Dome, and they might not be in first place. They might not control their own destiny by then. So the Saints can really put the stake to – they can put the stake to them. So that's really good. This is from Jim, Dave. How do you explain the fact that our defense, who has been fantastic, continue to give up points on the opening drive?
I think that's just the way a lot of games go. You know, you're a defense. You have to react to what the offense is showing you and what they're doing. And on that opening drive, you know, that's the first series. That's the first time you're getting to see them. You're feeling them out. After that opening drive, you know, you can go back and check out the looks and all that kind of stuff and then start making adjustments. That way you can start reacting better. So I don't think that's surprising at all. And when I see that happen, when I see them give up a touchdown on an opening drive or early in the game like that, I don't tend to worry too much at this point now with Dennis Allen. I feel like he's very good at making adjustments. And obviously now this is two games in a row, shutting down opposing offenses completely in the second half.
I feel like since he started with the Saints at defensive coordinator, he's always done better in the second half, generally speaking.
I think Dennis Allen is very good at making adjustments and taking what he's given and then working with that. And I'd like to take this time too to just, you know, make an overall point about the league in general. Earlier in the first half of the season, everybody was talking about offense and how this is the highest, highest scoring season. You know, teams were just putting up ridiculous numbers. And I think now we're getting later in the season. I don't think it has to necessarily do with the cold weather, but I think a lot of that is
defenses are tightening up. Yeah.
Oh, I mean, totally. I mean, and obviously we saw that with the Saints. Yeah. I mean, on our offense, I think we're one of the, that happened with us the earlier part of our season. You know, we were great. We were clicking. We were putting up tons of points. We were blowing out teams. And now we're playing teams like Dallas or whatever. And there are other teams out there like Chicago. I'm watching Seattle right now. It's 21-0, but for most of the game, it was 3-0 or 6-0. I mean, you know, it's now becoming a more of a defensive league. And the good news for the Saints is, we're not as good as Chicago or we're not as good as Dallas as far as our defense is concerned. But we're getting pretty good and we're playing very well in the second half. So hopefully, we'll at least maintain this, if not get better. So when we get into these playoffs, we're going to be able to play that defensive game and
about the opening drive is, you know, when you're practicing all week, the opening drive, really the first 15-20 plays are all a lot of times scripted, and they're the most rehearsed, and they're the most highest likelihood of the offense being fully in sync, everyone knowing exactly what they're supposed to do, knowing the cadence, knowing the snap count. There's a lot that goes into the rehearsal, and during the walkthrough, you know, you'll go through the first 20 plays. So in terms of just an offense being in sync, being on the same page, knowing what to do. Those first 20 plays, you know, it's really once you get deeper into a game and an offensive coordinator has to change his game plan or scheme things differently, adjust on the fly. Guys get hurt and you come in replacing someone where you start to see guys make mistakes and not know what they're doing, et cetera. So.
And the thing about this, the first drive with Tampa is Winston made one of those throws that will keep him employed in the NFL for like 10 more years. Where, like, he threw it to Evans, Lattimore had really good coverage, and he just threw it in there on a dime, and it was like a 35-yard gain, and that sort of set it up. So, you know, it happens. Kevin, this is a question from Chris. I saved it just for you. If Bridgewater never plays a meaningful down as a Saint, is the trade justified for his post-victory locker room dance moves alone?
Only if we get to see a locker room dance tweet in the second weekend of February.
Now, Kevin, the Saints gave up a third round pick for him. I know you hate that.
Yeah, 2019 draft is your nightmare, man. No, they have a second round pick. That's it.
Look, what are the like I said, just. If he's dancing, if he's shooting, if they're shooting himself, if, oh Christ, I can't even think. If they release a video of him dancing in the locker room in Atlanta in February, then I'll say it was worth it.
There's this quote from Sean Payton, you know, from 2009 when the Saints won the Super Bowl. That's like, if you win a Super Bowl, then it means every move you've made. You know, it justifies. Yeah, it's basically justified every move.
Andrew, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. I think we lost you for there. I'll have to clip that out. So let's get to the game. The Saints are a 6.5-point favorite. Kevin, Monday night against Carolina. Carolina is in a death spiral. They are 6-7. But who do you got? And who's your MVP?
Oh, at Carolina, shit. All right. I'm going to pick the Saints to win. I say Carolina covers. I'm going to go with a final of... let's see. 31-27. And the MVP, let's just say it's Kamara.
Ooh, Andrew, Saints are a 6.5-point favorite. Who you got?
I just think if the Panthers have anything left in them, any pride, any fire whatsoever. They've already lost the division. They lost to the Saints 3 times last year. They're fighting for their playoff lives. They're at home in front of a national audience. Like, if they have anything left, I expect them to give it everything they have against the Saints, and I think it's going to be really tough. I do think the Saints will win 23-20, and my MVP is Will Lutz, who will hit a 57-yard field goal at the gun.
That's a good prediction. You know, the thing about Carolina is everybody talks about their collapse more than Atlanta's, obviously, because Carolina had started so well and they were 6-2, and now they're 6-7. But Atlanta's collapse is, in my opinion, is much worse because Atlanta is getting housed in games. Carolina, they've lost 5 in a row, but 4 of them have been one-score games, and 2 of them, Carolina. One of them, Carolina went for 2 to win, and yesterday they had the ball first and goal. and they score a touchdown, they would have won. So, I mean, these games are close. So it's not like, you know, a bounce here, a bounce there, they'd be in a little bit better shape. But, Dave, who do you got?
I feel differently about this game than I guess everybody else does. You know, Ralph, you said they're in a death spiral. I think that's a good way to put it. What, lost their last five, I think?
Yep.
And, you know, losing to the Browns, that's just not a good look.
The Browns are better.
I know.
A laughingstock anymore.
Oh, okay. Look, can we just continue to keep making Browns? All right.
I mean, the Browns gave the Saints some trouble.
Greg is trying to get that job full time.
Can't relate, bro. Saints didn't lose. No, can't relate.
I am well aware that the Browns are, trending in the right direction, but that's not going to stop me from continuing to make fun of them forever. I don't know. And Cam Newton, I don't know. I think he's probably getting pretty unhappy at this point, and I don't think he's mentally tough. And yeah, he's injured.
He seems very banged up. Yeah,
he's just kind of always been a whiny baby, and so he's probably whining about losing five games in a row. I think he's so. I don't see the Panthers. It's crazy to think that they are in the playoff hunt as Andrew mentioned, but at the same time, I feel like they're not really in the playoff hunt. If that makes any sense.
Hey, an eight win team is getting that sixth spot in the NFC because Minnesota has it currently, and they're going to lose, and they're going to be 6-6-1. So an 8-win team's getting that last playoff spot.
Yeah, I mean, mathematically they're in it, but mentally I think they're out of it. I don't know, but so I think it's going to be a blowout. It's Monday night, you know, Saints prime time. I know it's not in the dome, but they're still pretty darn good on prime time. They shine under the lights. I'm going to say this is a blowout. I'm going to say this isn't even close. We put the final nail in Carolina's coffin for this season. I'm going to say, I think offensively going to be a get right game for the Saints, and everybody can stop freaking out and be like, okay, we can score 35 points a game again. I'm going to say 35 Saints, 20 Panthers, but some of that comes late in the game. And, I'm going to say Drew Brees MVP. He gets back. People start talking about him again for MVP.
This is, and Dave, I agree with you, but I'm going to take it one step further. This is a people going to get fired game. And it ain't going to be because of the Saints. It ain't going to be Saints people. It's going to be people going to get fired. It's going to be Carolina people. Saints 41, Carolina 10. And it's going to be the death nail for Ron Rivera and their GM. And the new owner's just going to fumigate it. Maybe not Tuesday after the game, but after the season, he's going to fumigate it and bring in all new people. So we won't get to make fun of Riverboat Ron and all that anymore. But it's going to be a beating of monumental proportion. And Booger McFarland's just going to be riding up and down the sideline in his space age golf cart or whatever the fuck that is, making jokes about being from Louisiana and how he likes Popeyes. Which I'm all for because I enjoy it, but the rest of America doesn't really like it. So that does it. Kevin, it's always a pleasure when you return to us. So
you're right for the place, really.
It is. And when Kevin comes back, I feel like the open becomes like 1% less stale when Kevin joins us. So that makes me happy, and I can put off not doing another week.
Get a new open.
none of us write for the things that they say we write for anymore.
None of us write at all besides me.
How's the team drops the ball going, Kevin?
It still exists somewhere.
Yeah, Kevin, you actually have to go back and listen to one of the podcasts. We'd be like, go back to your website and, like, look up old things.
I can't. I don't even have a joke. I'm dead.